searching for the way back. Adam immediately recognized he was a sinner and searched to find his way back to the original close fellowship with God that he once had. Realizing they were naked, he covered Eve and himself with fig leaves. Does this not symbolize today's man-made types of organized religious groups looking for God, with each one seeming to have their own ideas rather than simply accepting God's required way? God immediately condemned Adam's idea of man-made coverings of fig leaves. The Lord then shed the blood of animals to cover their sin, showing his only approved way for the remission of sin was by blood. The blood was always God's requirement for redemption. Something had to die to cover their sin. A holy God would never allow sin in his presence. The penalty is clear. Sin is death. Thankfully, he would provide a substitute, something to pay for Adam and Eve's sin. Yet animal blood could only cover the sin until the sinless blood of Christ at Calvary would come and take away the sin, permanently, bringing us back to fellowship with God. It had to be the sinless blood of God to permanently set us free. How could you pay for my sin when you are also in bondage with your sin? It would be like going to prison and you looking to your imprisoned cellmate to set you free. The pardon you need to set you free could only come from a higher level of authority. Romans 3 verses 23 through 25 tells us, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." The sacrificing of animal blood would continue long after Adam and Eve were separated from God because of their sin. Soon Eve would have twin children, Cain and Abel. They both were aware of God and worshipped him, only in different ways. Cain prepared his sacrifice to God with beautiful flowers, but he eliminated the blood. Abel killed lambs and brought the blood sacrifice. Not so attractive, but it was to God's satisfaction. One would think Adam and Eve instructed both Cain and Abel on sacrificing to God because of their own experience, knowing it had to be blood. God rejected Cain's sacrifice, but accepted Abel's blood sacrifice. In his mercy, God told Cain if he would give a blood sacrifice like his brother, he would also be accepted. For those who know the story, Cain willfully refused, then killed Abel in jealousy and anger. World peace has been lost ever since. Science, education, denominations, or anything else will never bring us back to fellowship with God for eternity. Only through the sinless blood will God meet man and fulfill the promise of dwelling with man in a world of peace for eternity. When the patriarch Job was having the trials of his faith, he was advised by friends that it was because he had sin in his life. Yet he offered blood sacrifices for his family and trusted God, since he remembered God had demanded those blood sacrifices in the Garden of Eden. His faith rested on the blood sacrifice of animals until the real sacrifice would come. Job 19, verse 25 and 26, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." What a concept! Though deserving death, God allows something or someone to die in man's place. God sees the blood and pardons the sinner. Job knew he had fulfilled God's requirement. We know this because God met him in a personal, supernatural way. God only sees man through the blood, as the blood is the only place God will meet man for all his needs. It is an interesting scientific fact that when you look at the color red through a red lens, you see white. White is clean. White is innocent. White is the atonement. God sees sinful man through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, removing our sins and making us look white as snow. Isaiah 1, 18 and 19, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." When one submits by faith to the obedience of God's word with a repentant heart and is baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, a channel is opened to the pure love and forgiveness of the living Christ. His word becomes alive in your heart in power and in truth. You can stand with confidence as Job did, knowing your Redeemer liveth. The sinless blood of Jesus Christ sacrificed at Calvary brings us back to reconciliation with God and secures our dwelling place in the heavenly kingdom with the world of peace to come. Sadly, many mainstream churches have taken the blood out of their teachings. They have removed all songs that sing about the blood as they have decided it is too gory. The congregations gladly watch violent action films or demonic horror movies with no condemnation from the pulpits, but to discuss or sing of the blood of the Lord Jesus is deemed unsuitable. They believe the beautiful building, choir, and preaching about Jesus without the importance of the blood will be sufficient for the remission of sins. Man has often tried finding his own way back to God. It is truly in all men to worship something or someone. Many religions and tribes back in the jungles worship man-made idols looking for a way back, trying to contact their creator or the supernatural. Men try educating themselves back to God. Often the more educated the man, the greater potential for crime as man gets smarter, prouder, and thinks he knows more than God and the law. There is the old adage of a young boy having the character of a thief stealing candy bars. You cannot educate that nature out of him. When he grows up without a nature change, his stealing may escalate to robbing banks or embezzling. Education is good, but we must have a change in our inner man or spirit to change our desires and behaviors. Governments exercising peace through strength have miserably failed in this regard. Generally, organized religions as well show no sign of advancement to end the violence. As man began to multiply on the earth, the violence escalated. It was far beyond man to have the answers for world peace and regain the paradise lost in Eden. In fact, life became so depraved and violent, God caused a flood to destroy the evil of the world. Where are we today? It does not take long for one to recognize that a violent and predatory nature goes much farther than a few greedy individuals starving for power and making wrong leadership choices. If that were so, man could replace those leaders with good ones and have the problem solved. Man has attempted to overthrow governments for thousands of years only to have problems with the incoming leader that they so gladly supported. Many will use every underhanded tactic available to get into the leadership position and accomplish their agenda. If the new leader had the character and personality to overthrow the existing leader by force, we would need to be careful of the new leader dominating with the nature of a predatory dictator. Since the fall, everything that has life must be confronted with enemies at every turn for survival. Plants and animals, from great beasts down to the tiniest insects, prey on other life for their very existence. Did you ever stop to think that life lives through death? Something has to die so something else can live. Plant life and animal life all die to supply food. The food that is eaten from the dead substance of something else produces the life cells of blood that comes into our body. Thus, we have to have death to produce life. Plants are grown from seeds in the earth. The animals, the fowl of the air, and humans eat these plants for survival. Other animals and humans eat the animal life for survival. The only life higher than human life is God. Plants and animals have a built-in defense system against predators, keeping many of them out of the food chain long enough to propagate. Yes, God has a balance system for the earth that regulates how small, large, and how many of each species must live or die to sustain life. He knows every time a sparrow falls to the ground as well as everything about you and me. Luke 12:6-7. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Some of the defense systems are so unique that they could not have evolved. They are truly the product of the forethought of an infinite creator. The opossum is just one example to illustrate God's incredible creation. The opossum's defense mechanism is notoriously known as playing dead, but there is actually nothing playful about it. The act is completely involuntary. Under intense fear, opossums fall into a comatose-like state that can last for hours, long enough to convince any predator that the opossum is already dead. Fear causes these animals to emit a corpse-like smell that only adds to their act, totally convincing their predator that they are really dead. And many predators want nothing to do with dead prey. They want fresh kill for their diet. Man claims most of the defense mechanisms are taught from the older animals and through experiences. This may be true at times, but they cannot teach the involuntary coma or producing the smell of something dead. Only a God that created all animal life would know in his foreknowledge what predators would be dangerous and to what animals they would be dangerous to. To keep a balance in a fallen world, God created the natural instincts and the mechanism to trick the predators much of the time. Keep in mind, every animal, whether predator or not, has a unique defense system as well, keeping its predators at bay while allowing it to mature and produce offspring. Some die to meet the needs of other animals, but enough live to reproduce and continue the species. You may ask, if the earth was not violent in the beginning at the creation, why did God create these protective defense systems in his creations? Simply, God knows the end from the beginning. He knew the choice Adam and Eve would make before he even created them. How could an all-powerful creator not know all things? Sin is simply being separated from God. When man fell into sin, he was immediately separated from having fellowship with God. This is where he lost all his supernatural powers and became mortal man. The curse was put on the earth and all the animals. The earth and all that lives in it no longer had the peace that only the presence of God could bring. Everything and everyone was now in a fight for survival. What went wrong? How did this all turn from the peaceful paradise in the Garden of Eden to the violence we have today? We can only find these answers in the Bible, since the Bible is the only book that shows where we came from, where we are going, and everything in between. Revelation 12, verses 7 through 9. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. This violence all began with a spiritual war in heaven. Satan, who was a beautiful created angel, only second to God in power, rebelled. God cast him with one-third of the angels that followed him in this rebellion out of heaven into the earth, where the battles are now fought in the minds of humans. Whether we like it or not, we are all involved in this war. The place of the battle is always in the human mind, because that is where we choose between right and wrong. Right choices bring love, joy, peace, faith, health, and confidence, resulting in a happy, fulfilled life now and for eternity. Wrong choices wreak havoc with fear, stress, sickness, and confusion, leading to an unfulfilled life and ultimately death. In this spiritual war, we as humans are no match for Satan's spiritual attacks. Man is only fighting against the wind, attempting to find solutions to world peace in the human realm. This spiritual war must be fought with the proven and tested spiritual weapons found in high places in Christ Jesus and his word. We can learn from the eagle, who takes his prey high into the clefts of the rock on his turf, where he has power. The ground is the turf of the prey, where they have power. The earth is not the eagle's domain. The prey loses his power when he is taken into the heavenlies. The position of an overcomer is seated in heavenly places with Christ. Satan has no power when you are in high places with God, which is exactly where God wants us. Satan is the master deceiver that can deceive the very elect if possible. He can deceive you into all kinds of choices that look and sound so good as they would bring you closer to God, but in reality, they will pull you from him. Only the Word of God can bring us the clarity to recognize the enemy and how to avoid those thoughts that deceive. The confidence coming from the Word of God and the victories in battle bring the confidence and peace that passeth all understanding. Isn't that what we're all looking for? This is our earnest of world peace that is to come in the not-so-distant future. A quote from Charles Spurgeon. After many years of great mercy, after tasting of the powers of the world to come, we still are so weak, so foolish. But oh, when we get away from self to God, there all is truth and purity and holiness, and our heart finds peace, wisdom, completeness, delight, joy, and victory. We have clearly established in God's plan that the only way back to fellowship with God is through blood sacrifice. However, the blood of animals only covered sin, thereby God could not see the sin. Yet the sacrifice of animal blood could not permanently take the sin away, or more clearly, sacrificing the animal could not change the human desire. Forgiveness was granted, yet the body continues to produce sin. Leviticus 17:11, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul."